Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Quick fun note for you. Did you see what Rick Bucher said about Ben Simmons? He said all the Nets players had a group chat, and after they lost the first three games, they asked him if he would be ready to play in game four. Ben Simmons did not respond, and then he exited the chat.
What?
So, whoops.
That's clearly all Doc Rivers' fault.
Oh.
No, it's on Ben Simmons.
Doc Rivers doesn't work there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Although, look.
He could just blame things on Doc Rivers.
I just like blaming Doc Rivers for forcing Ben Simmons out. He was like, I got to get rid of this player.
Also, man. Rick Bucher, how do you feel about like his accuracy in reporting?
I mean, we've already been through some stuff around here where maybe it was not the most accurate. But I think Ben Simmons, when you said you could blame Doc Rivers and you were like, well, let's just blame Doc Rivers. I think Ben Simmons has become somebody that if you told me a story, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe. All right, now it's time for the C block.
Sorry, I just got Mike just started following me on Twitter.
What?
And
I thought I did.
I ended that like
50 million years ago.
I thought I fixed it too.
I just invited you to a page. So there you go, Mike.
Okay,
everything's
going
to be all right, man.
Because I don't have the communities thing.
I know. It's weird. It's weird how that works sometimes. All right, so it is time for the C block where I got some questions. Hit the music, Reggie.
Don't have it yet. I'm working on it, though.
We're working on
that.
Oh, so,
okay.
Got me actually working today. Look at that.
Who needs to say this to Jerry or Steven? This is a story that came from the Sean McVay moment on ESPN. And this is, Kevin, I'm going to replace some words here, all right?
Oh.
I'm going to say flipping instead, and I'm going to say other words as well. But basically, he went to the Rams brass and dropped this plea on them. Here's the flipping deal, okay? We can sit here and exist and be okay winning 9-10 games and losing the flipping divisional round and feel like, oh, everything's okay. Or we can let our mother flipping almonds hang and go trade for this flipping quarterback and gives ourselves a chance to win a flipping world championship. You ready to flip and do this or what? And then they trade for Matt Stafford and then they win the Super Bowl. That's Sean McVay's moment. Who has to be the person to tell the Cowboys, Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones, hey, we need to go get this thing to make this team better, or we can just be happy losing in the divisional round? Because that feels like that was a direct shot at the Cowboys when he said that.
All right. I have two thoughts that come to mind. One of them, you'd have to sub out the position because it would be Dak. But you said, like, or get something.
Sure. Yeah.
I think maybe even the Charles Haley piece. I think Dak actually has the stroke to make that happen.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
And then, look.
You think that he was, how many times can he do that, though, before his job's on the line?
You know, that's a good question. I'm curious what his, like, hit or miss rate is if that's happened. Like, I have no inside information that he was like, you have to do X, Y, and Z. But if he did, I would be interested to see that hit miss rate. The other one's Will McClay. Like, Will McClay, the de facto, I feel like we'd all say the de facto general manager of the Dallas Cowboys.
Absolutely.
Is, I think he has the possibility. But even then, like, I can't say for sure that that would. But Dak or Will McClay are the two that jump to my mind.
I just there's got to be somebody within the organization. I think McCarthy should be the guy. You know, hey, look, I feel like we're this close. We have all these pieces. And, you know, Stephen Jones did say with us, hey, you see what the Rams did, and you're like, whoa, now everybody's going to go try to be the Rams. Yeah. Well, that's not our style.
Yeah.
We would rather hold on to our nickels than go ahead right. and be in, and put the future cap at risk. But he said, hey, let's win a championship now. And they made all the right moves. They took the risks. Jerry said he's a risk taker. My question is when? When is the real risk that you're taking? Steven's not taking risks.
Yeah.
Steven is very calculated with his decisions. And some of, like, their draft picks are good. But they don't say, you know what, it's time to roll the dice on this one moment because that's going to elevate this team to the next spot. And that's very concerning because I think there are a lot of people in that organization that are just like, you're the best, Jerry. You're the best, Steven. But aren't going to sit down and say, we got to do this to really, and you know what, it's all on me now. Like, McVay did that. But he also was like, now you put it all on me to go make sure it works. And it did. Like, that worked out perfect for him. So that was an all the right moves kind of move there.
I'm intrigued by this philosophy. I'm going to, like, I know we're going to move on with the segment, but I'm going to think about this even more. Because honestly, those are the only two that I could come up with. And then I'm starting to think from football team to football team, is there usually that group of, like, because Sean McVay's one person, but are there other people in the Rams organization that could have gotten that same, like, move done, or is it just like a small group? Like, does every team have a really small group of people that can make just about anything happen?
Yeah, and I believe that McVay has the swag to do it too. And I'm betting whenever his GM's sitting there, he's like, "Hey, look, I'm not ready to make this move to the kids, our owners, but do you want to do it? All right, go in there and walk in that room and knock their door down and tell them. And then you better be ready to back it up whenever you make the move. You can't let Matt Stafford fail." So I'd love to see if Dak was the guy, you can't let that guy fail when it comes to having that guy on the team. All right.
By the way, Corey, I'm sorry. I'm astonished at, I probably shouldn't be. I'm astonished. There's a lot of feedback about the positivity and the spiritual and Christian and Jesus talk that we were having in the last segment. So good luck with those endeavors.
I'm trying. I'm sending out the link. Okay. A good Tolo started the Christian Tolo Positive Vibes community. So I'm sending it out to the people who have responded saying they'd like to be a part of it.
That is our good friend Justin Webster, who has been a hardcore Tolo for us, made us hats and everything.
Yes.
We appreciate
that. I still
man.
Have that. Well, at that, least one of those hats.
That dude Tolo's right there. Like, that is a strong Tolo right there.
Absolutely. Sorry to interrupt.
Second and third questions. I have two trade questions coming up. All right. What could Tristan Hill fetch in a trade?
I think people see him as if he gets released, we'll maybe take a flyer on him.
I don't think anything.
So that's the thing. There's a thing about that. One, he has been good in camp aside from the time that Tyler Smith picked him up and threw him across the yard. But he's been pretty good in the camp so far. One of those factors into what we've been discussing, Mike, is up the middle. They've looked poor because that defensive front has been doing work. And I've started to see the name floating around in, hey, he could be a potential, or they're going to try and trade him. But I think Mike's right. With this Cowboys organization, if they're even thinking about trading a guy, they're probably going to release him. And that's the big problem with the Cowboys is they're not trading anything of real value. They're just always trying to trade you something that they're probably going to pawn off anyway. So that's
Think that nobody across the league knows that they might cut Tristan Hill. Like, that's a weird bit.
I'm shocked that you wouldn't want this guy for the price we're asking right now.
And they're like, no, I'll wait till you cut
him. I'm sure there's maybe a few guys that even the Cowboys really like that they weren't able to draft, right, in the last year or two, or this draft, right? And they kind of are keeping tabs on those guys. Hey, keep an eye on this guy. See how he does, because we're not sure if he's going to make this team, right? He was a fifth-round pick or a seventh-round pick or undrafted, signed free agent. And so I'm sure that teams are like, maybe they did like Tristan Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't done anything at all in the NFL to really spark any interest. But there might be a couple teams like, hey, if they release him because they drafted, whether it was Ridgeway from Arkansas or, you know, Osa is a pretty good player now, and there's like, hey, they might release him. So let's just, hey, let's keep an eye on it. If we need to put him on our 53, we can cut this guy after final cuts. Because that happens a lot, right? You get your final cuts, and then you cut another guy because you saw that a guy that you liked ended up getting cut, and you got to quickly pick him up.
All right, so y'all are saying not even a seventh-round pick.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
How much would it cost to get Michael Thomas?
Do we have the money to do it?
Yeah, no, you have the money to absorb the hit that you do. Now, whether or not you want to depart with the draft capital, I don't know.
That seems like too much money to me. I don't know everything, but if you're going to pay CeeDee Lamb $25 million a year, which I know that you're not yet, but you're getting close to, you just paid Michael Gallup good money.
Yeah.
And Michael Thomas does have a big contract. That's a lot of money to put into your wide receivers. You're going to have to eventually take that money and say, if we're putting this much money into wide receiver, we can't put this much money into, whether it's, you just say, I know it's just one position or two guys, but maybe you just say, we're always going to be close to league minimum on tight end.
Golly, that is a great question. That is a really complicated question because I'm just trying to think. Like, his trade value has been really, really low for a while, but now he's up and ready to go. So I don't know what that costs.
He started 5 games in 2020.
Okay, and then he was hurt all of last year.
I would guess if you offered him a third.
Okay, I was gonna say second, so third.
That I think it could get. I mean,
conditional third.
Yeah, maybe it could go to a second. Now that being said, I don't know. Amari Cooper's value was 5th-round pick. Yeah. Why is his value much better than Amari Cooper's?
Actually, I changed my mind. That's a great point because this trade would be problematic for the Cowboys in terms of fandom. Mm-hmm. Because how much would that reflect on? Like, let's say Mike's right. Let's even go with a third. And then if you do a conditional third, it makes it all the worse. Is you're like, okay, Michael Thomas played, what'd you say, 5 games in the last 2 years? Mm-hmm. Well, I know for damn sure that Amari Cooper's played a lot more than 5 games, had a lot more yards, had a lot more catches, had a lot more receiving touchdowns, and we got a fifth for that. And then we gave up more for Michael Thomas. That will be problematic with the fan base. And now that I think about it, I will also have a problem with
CeeDee Lamb and Michael Thomas on the same football field. Simply because, let's think about this with Amari Cooper. I think it was more about the fact that he missed a couple games because he wasn't vaccinated.
Yeah.
Than anything else. He wasn't practicing, missed a couple games because he wasn't like that. I think that has a huge factor in they were willing to take whatever it took to get him off of this team. Just get him out of here. And actually, we'll take a lower one just to prove how much we don't care about you. You know, one of those types of situations. I would take Michael Thomas. I don't like for a third. I'd be surprised if the Saints took that for one. Like that would be a shock to me. But I was very interested to see where the value is on a guy like that, and if you need to make that kind of a move, would you do it? And would he be able to play with Sean Payton next year? That is another question we have to consider.
Okay, you did not tell me there would be like 3 more bonus questions in this thing, though. I am inclined to say not really, just because I know he's back out there, but I still do not have faith in Michael Thomas.
Okay, all right.
He talent-wise...
Like getting hurt again?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
I just think that at this point, I get it. You do need assets for your quarterback. So I don't want to say, hey, you paid him $40 million. You just get trash receivers and make them good. But you have a first-round guy in CeeDee Lamb that you think is one of the best receivers in the game from your organizational standpoint. You just paid Michael Gallup a good amount of money to be a solid number two. And then you have other guys that you've drafted later in the draft and that you think they have potential. That's what your $40 million quarterback is meant to do. You have to. The good quarterbacks take average receivers and make them good. Take sometimes below-average receivers and get something out of them. We can't just say, Dak, we have to put 3 Pro Bowl receivers around you or it's not your fault.
Let's go to Jerry Jones, who he hijacked the NFL network, Reggie.
Oh, no. Is everybody okay?
And yeah. Well, I mean, like, it wasn't one of those hijacks where he was holding them up or anything. It was just one of those, hey, give me that microphone. I want to hop in with you fellas real quick. And Jerry Jones had this to say about one Ezekiel Elliott.
We're going to go the way that Zeke takes us, and we should. And he's the best guy to have in there on protections.
Best blocking back in the league.
Coach. And so he's also the guy to have in there to wear them down. Mm-hmm. And if I've ever seen one that reminded me of Earl Campbell or, if you will, go as far back as Jimmy Brown.
Oh, my Jimmy. Lord.
First off, That was that's the blocking the blocking pad, the sled in the background that you're hearing, Kevin.
Okay.
So if you're old, do you call him Jimmy Brown?
I don't know.
Was he Jimmy Brown back in the day? Like his football card says Jim Brown. Was he a Jimmy?
Maybe he had Jimmy Johnson on his mind while he was talking about it. Y'all's thoughts, though, when it comes to Earl Campbell and Jim Brown and Ezekiel Elliott, are they all in the same conversation?
The hardest working man in show business.
Or is Jerry just saying, you know what, as the physical nature of Zeke is compared to those guys, not the actual careers of those guys?
With Earl Campbell, I guess Jim Brown had a shorter career, too. I was going to say, with Earl Campbell, I at least kind of got the analogy that he was making, because Earl Campbell was incredible, and then his career was over, you know, really, really fast. Jim Brown is a piece of trash human, but he did win 8 rushing titles in 9 years, I think. And some will tell you that Jim Brown is the greatest football player of all time. I do not believe I'm willing to make that comparison. And if you don't think he is, surely he's in like the top 5. That feels too far.
Yeah, I would say this for Jerry Jones and why I don't believe what he's saying, and I don't believe he believes what he's saying. He's selling a product once again, which he is the best to do. Why not compare him to Emmett Smith? He's supposed to be your next Emmett Smith when you drafted him 4th overall. So why are you going way back in time to the 60s and the 70s/80s when just compare him to Emmett Smith, the guy that you actually were an owner? Not you didn't own Emmett Smith, but you were the owner of the team when he was on your team. Why do we have to go back to times where nobody really knows? At least I'm 44. I never saw Jim Brown or Jimmy Brown play a second of my life. I get, like, you know, from what I understand, he was like 230 pounds. You know who else was 230 pounds? All the offensive linemen in the NFL, too, at that time. It's like he was as big as all the offensive linemen, but then running the football, too. So I would just say, hey, I hope Zeke bounces back. He had a few nice moments last year, but I think that we're trying very hard to build him back up again. And remember, I thought he was going to be last year. I'm not going to do it back-to-back years. I've been wrong before. I thought Shohei Ohtani was going to be great in 2020. When he wasn't, I'm like, screw it. I'm not doing this anymore. Shohei Ohtani's never going to be a pitcher and the hitter at the same time. It's just not physically possible in the MLB. I thought it was, but 18, 19, and 20, he proved it. It can't be done. And then he proved it. And now for 2 years in a row, he's proved it. So maybe Zeke comes back and he looks like 2016 Zeke.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which NFL team's over-under win total do you think is most unreachable? Because the bettors have a fairly surprising selection. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I know that Reggie has got to be pumped because the Dallas Wings have clinched another playoff berth.
That's
there.
Right.
Back in, 5 straight victories. Back in the playoffs. I was confused at this one article I saw, I think it was on CBS Sports, that said the Dallas Wings soar in the power rankings, and they went from 6th to 6th or something like that. And I felt like, I mean,
well, they were sore. They were sore in the power rankings.
They spelled it like the flying kind.
Oh, okay.
I was confused by that. I get that they're playing well, but I didn't understand why it didn't translate more in the power rankings. But the Dallas Wings back in the playoffs after that 86-87 win over New York. Now, on the football front, got a question for you guys, and I can run down all of the over-under totals if you would like them. Which NFL team's over-under total seems most unachievable? Because the thing that was particularly surprising to me is, once again, we go back to Caesar Sports. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the most lopsided under bet in all of football. At 11.5 wins, 88% of the bets so far have come in on the under for Tampa Bay. 88%. And Tampa's a good team.
What did they go last year?
Let's see.
I mean, I'm trying to go to standings as fast as I can.
Yeah, were they 11-6 last year? I don't know either.
I have Noah Brown pulled up. All right. See you later, Noah.
Good job.
And
oh, don't say see you later, Noah. They were 13-4, so they beat it last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, is it surprise you that 88% of the people are like, nah, under? done with Tom Brady.
I am, because it seems like usually you bet on Tom Brady and not against Tom Brady.
If you have been doing that, you've made a lot of money.
Okay, but look at their division again. Panthers, are they winning a game against Tom Brady?
Nope.
The Falcons winning a game against Tom Brady?
No, the Falcons might not hardly win any games.
The Saints going to split?
I could live with that.
So, like, that's a bunch of wins right there.
Just
stack them up and then win a couple other games like that. I feel like you could go ahead and bet the over happily on this.
So, are you surprised then?
I am surprised.
Almost everybody is betting the under on that. So, 88% are betting the under. All right. For me.
Maybe they have a tough schedule that I don't know about. I mean, they have the Cowboys. So, that's difficulty number one right out the gate. Mm-hmm. They do play the Packers and the Chiefs.
Okay.
They have the Ravens and Rams. So, and they have the Niners on their schedule and the Bengals. They actually don't have a cakewalk of a schedule.
Are you changing your mind to the under?
I will change my mind to the under as well, because I think their schedule's tough.
Okay.
In your face.
Oh, I mean, I support any time that Tom Brady fails.
Except with it.
Okay. All right. I accept it. Is there a team that you guys are curious about, and I will give you their over-under and see how you feel betting-wise?
Bengals.
The Cincinnati Bengals, 10.5. People still do not totally believe in the Cincinnati Bengals.
I would
lean
under on that.
Woo! I think I would, too.
I think 10-7.
I'm sorry, Bengals fan. I want to believe.
They won 10 games last year.
And they made the Super Bowl!
It's so weird that they won 10 games and got into the Super Bowl.
I mean, I will say this. Pittsburgh, I love their coach. They have a great organization. They should play under 500 this year. But still, the Steelers, I feel like with their coach and their organization, will figure out how to go 7-10.
Okay.
Which means they're going to hand people losses, if that makes sense. I don't think they're going to go like 4-13 and they're just going to get swept by everybody. And then Cleveland, if they don't have a quarterback, who's their quarterback if Deshaun Watson can't play at all?
Are they going Kaiser?
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett, that's right.
They stink.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the case, they're probably going 6-11. 6-11 or 5-12.
Now, interestingly enough, at this moment, the Cleveland Browns were the only team not on the board as we wait the outcome to that. For me, it's the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears over-under is 7.5 wins.
I'll take the
no
under.
No effing way. I like Justin Fields a lot. That team looks like it is going to suck. I will definitely take the under on the Chicago Bears.
This is where practice isn't nice, as in people can tweet one tweet about somebody. They show Justin Fields had a guy wide open in the back of the end zone, open by 15 yards. I mean, nobody's covering this guy. And he overthrew him by 15 yards out of the end zone.
Oh, dear.
And they're like, God, Justin Fields, guy's wide open, and he misses. And he did. Like, it's a fact he did. Well, how's the rest of all his throws going? Because I saw Dak Prescott throw some bad throws, too. Maybe he's throwing some good ones. Maybe he's not throwing any good ones. Is he that bad? Because he shouldn't have been even drafted if he can't throw the ball to that guy.
I'm going to run you through some of these teams.
What about the Browns?
Okay.
They have a very easy schedule.
Well, like I said, they're the only ones not on the board.
Oh, my bad. All right.
All right. So I'll run you. The Colts? Man, you are high on the Colts. I think you're going to like this one. Over, under, 9.5 wins.
I mean, it feels like they're going to win 10. Yeah.
You're taking the over?
Yeah.
All right. Mike, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Over, under, 6.5.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say 5.5. I'm going to go under.
Okay, surprisingly enough, the New York Jets are 5.5 over under.
There's such
wins.
A tough division. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like no, absolutely,
versus,
it makes sense.
I think they have the
11th toughest schedule according to
I'm
Power Rankings.
I'm surprised it's not higher than that, honestly.
Because don't they get the NFC East?
Oh, crap.
I mean, honestly, think about it. All those teams, they get to play Dallas, okay, to maybe above average.
Yeah.
Same thing with Philadelphia, and New York and Washington are considered really bad teams in the NFL. So it does help out your schedule playing the NFC
East.
The
Jets?
Oh, are we not? Is it? No, we're not.
I'm not sure
one.
Who their crossover
is. No, the Jets do not. I do not see the Cowboys on
the
slate.
Okay, so they're not in the. Sorry.
They get the NFC North.
Who's all of our AFC games against?
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
Valid.
Do you have any other teams that you're curious about or that you would like to bet on?
Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals.
This seems like a very tough team to kind of gauge. And plus, they have the second hardest schedule this year.
They're 9.5. Kyler Murray got all of the money.
I feel like I would bet the under on that.
They're in a tough division.
Tough division. The rest of their schedule is not very easy either.
We get the AFC South, by the way.
Okay. Well, I have great news for you about that. It's great, Corey. Because if you want to just bet on which division is going to win the Super Bowl, clearly leading the way is the AFC West. Not last is the NFC East. That's right. Not last is the NFC East. Now, if your follow-up question is, are they next to last? Why, yes. Yes, they are. They are next to last. But the last division on the list is the AFC South. So of all the divisions that could win the Super Bowl, Vegas says AFC South, least likely.
Mm.
Then the NFC East. But we're not last, so don't worry about that part.
Do you think that's good that the division is not last for that? But also, like, that doesn't mean that the teams in that division are prepared for the Super Bowl. That just means they can win their division. Like, that's what I feel like the Cowboys, like, you can win the division, but are you good enough to get past the divisional round?
Okay, and see, to your point, I think that's how they stack this, because at the very best of the AFC West, because they're like, I don't know who the hell's going to win it, but it's probably going to be a good team. And then AFC East, and then NFC West. So, like, the three divisions you would probably think of the best, they're like, I don't know who the hell's going to win it, but that is the team that that's the division we're going to go with, because they have so many viable options. Now, I have bad news for you.
Oh, no.
Which team will be the last undefeated team in the NFL? Which team will be the last undefeated team in the NFL?
I have no clue, because you have to look at the schedules and see how easy things are to start off.
Or teams. You just go with your gut, Mike.
Colts.
Cowboys.
That is not your gut. You don't even think they're going to win the first game.
Well, maybe they will.
Okay. The Colts.
Then they have a 50%, and then they knocked out 50% of the competition.
That is a weird way of putting that. The Colts, unfortunately, Corey, they're not very high on the list.
Oh,
I hate to tell you.
The Ravens. No, not that one.
Well, the Ravens are at least 8th on the list, and the Colts are 10th. But I have really bad news for you.
Mm.
The second team favored to be the last undefeated team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Course.
And that would be who the Dallas Cowboys play.
Oh no!
In the opening game of the season.
So that means they're predicting the Cowboys
will lose
or tie.
They will lose.
Lose or tie.
Ooh, I did not factor in the tie. That's a good point.
You're not undefeated, but you're also not defeated. So what does that mean if you have a tie and slate?
I think maybe you are undefeated.
You stay undefeated in your face.
Now, the favorite to be the last undefeated team standing, it is the Los Angeles Chargers. Schedule goes like this. Host the Raiders.
Their second game against Kansas.
Yes, it is. And in fact,
because I already marked that one as my week two, like, game of the week.
In fact, it's on the road against the Chiefs, but they are still the favorite to be the last undefeated team standing. Because then after that, they have the Jags,
I'm
Texans.
I'm going to say the Chiefs, Kevin.
Okay, I'll get to that in just 1 second.
Thanks.
So not a Chargers vote, but think
I'll
about this.
The Chiefs.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. After the Raiders and Chiefs, I think it's because the Chargers have the Jags, Texans, and Browns back-to-back-to-back. None of those teams, especially with Watson being out, I think people are, like, particularly high on. But you guys asked about the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are actually tied with the Cowboys as the 6th most likely team to be the last undefeated team.
Mike,
Chiefs,
you said they couldn't do it.
All right, I'm not going to take the Chiefs anymore. Right.
Well, Corey, you're about to change your vote, too. Oh. They start on the road against the Cardinals. Then they host the Chargers. Then they're at the Colts. Then they're at the Bucks. If the Chiefs start the season 4-0, my God, the Patrick Mahomes slander must stop.
Did they start 0-4 last year, or just felt that way?
I think it just felt that way.
Felt like, hold on, you guys are supposed to be, like, just ripping through everybody right now, and what's going on here?
Not the case. Now, what I know you're waiting for, who will be the last team to get a win in the NFL? I already put my vote forward for the Chicago Bears because I think they're going to be just awful.
Giants, I guess.
Ooh,
without seeing a schedule.
I like that. Ooh. New York Giants schedule.
All right. Do you want to look up the Giants? The betting favorite right now is the Falcons.
All right. Here's how the Giants start their season, Mike.
That's a good call.
Titans.
They should lose.
All right.
That's a loss.
Panthers.
Uh-oh.
That ended quickly.
That's a 50-50.
But uh-oh. I see. That's
all right, let's say they lose. Let's say Baker, the caker maker.
Okay, keep going.
What?
Cowboys.
That's a loss. You think they're going to go 17-0. That's a loss.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, 17-0 Cowboys.
All right, so you have them at 3-0.
0-3.
0-3 right now. Okay. Or 3-0 for our test.
That's right.
Bears.
Dang it. They're out. They have two winnable games.
Okay, here's
four.
The thing, though. I present to you the Falcons. Tell me, is that schedule really that much easier?
All right.
Falcons open up. They host the Saints.
Oh, crap.
That's a win for the Saints.
That's
a maybe. I've seen the Saints play.
Then they're on the road against the Rams.
That's a win for the Rams.
Right.
Yeah.
Then, in back-to-back weeks, they're on the road against the Seahawks and host the Browns. So you're going to face some garbage QB player right there.
When in the world are the Seahawks going to win with Geno the pizza maker Smith?
I thought for sure he was going to say Petrolli.
His name's Geno.
All right. Here's your opportunity for the Seahawks. Host the Broncos.
Lose.
At the 49ers.
Yeah, lose. No.
Host the Falcons.
Lose.
At the Lions.
Lose.
But you had them lose to the Falcons?
They'll win one of those two.
They're beating the Falcons. Gosh. I think you can put the Falcons. The Falcons are actively like, please give me Stroud or Young in the draft
next
year.
The last time you were this bullish on a Falcons bet, though, you ended up losing that bet. Remember?
Didn't the Falcons just draft Desmond Ridder?
They're not playing him.
Okay.
Well, they're not playing him at the start
even
of the year.
Even if they do, it'll be his rookie season. So.
I think they should, but I'm just saying, Reggie, I hear you.
No, but I'm like, if they don't draft or if they don't play him, then you get to next year, are you actually just going to be like, yo, give me Bryce Young and Desmond Ridder can go somewhere?
I kind of do think that. Okay. I kind of do think that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I don't know if we solved anything, but I feel like I had a lot of fun along the way.
We did it.
Okay, great.
And we had fun.
We did solve it, and we made friends along the way. Coming up next, we will chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Casey Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Just getting some of Mike's insights about Little League Baseball and whatnot. In case you missed the news, Brett Maher has been signed by the Cowboys and is going to be part of this kicking competition with Garibay out. However, David Hellman said Liram Harulahu is not fazed by any such competition, as he immediately went out there in the first special teams portion after that and looked fantastic. So there are your kicking updates. And now we bring in, courtesy of D&M Leasing, those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you?
Awesome, Heggy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I'm glad that you guys could be here today. What is your interest level in the Little League World Series?
You know, it used to be somewhat decent, right? Because this would be, I'm still out of school, you know, and it's late in the summer and watching it during the day was interesting. But that comes from a time when we didn't have the sports options like we do now.
Right.
Lately, you know, I can't get into it. So when I see it on, I'm like, oh, geez, this crap's on again. It's going to be dominating ESPN for the next 3 weeks.
All right. And so it's funny that you said that. And I think we're going to end up doing this topic probably tomorrow is, I was thinking when I was a kid, I loved the Little League World Series. So the idea is kind of, what sporting event did you love as a kid that maybe not so much anymore? And I think the Little League World Series is pretty dang high up on my list.
I watched all the tennis Grand Slams as well, you know, when I was a kid.
Are you sad about Serena retiring?
It's just kind of lame that we're getting old, you know, but it just kind of marks time.
Yeah.
But there's always other great players coming along to watch and enjoy. But yeah, she's a GOAT, so it's historical for sure.
Why do these kids, like I said earlier, why do these kids look like they're minor league players? I mean, they're all, the field is small and the kids are huge. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I kind of lost track of it when all of a sudden we were, birth certificates were being forged and all that.
Who was the kid that really exploded with?
Danny Almonte.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's like
I think he was 14, and I believe you're supposed to be 12 at this level of the Little League World Series.
Yeah, guy was doing shaving commercials and stuff like that after the Little League World Series, and I kind of lost interest then. I'm like, okay, do we have to do this in order to compete with the other nations that were getting smoked by?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess that was what we had to do, so. Now, kind of lost interest then.
I got more interest in this Little League World Series thing after this one kid got hit in the face.
And then the retaliation pitch.
Yeah, the retaliation was a hug. And then later, there was another retaliation pitch where they came inside on him. Yeah, they were thrown away, and then they threw real hard inside, got him on the elbow.
Do you get more interested when Texas is involved? Because, like, I would.
A little bit,
okay,
yeah.
I would definitely find myself when they're like, oh, you're representing the Midwest. And I'm like, yeah. And that's like, versus Texas.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
let's
go beat them. The New Jersey kids don't got nothing on us. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
I would say, Kevin, it was the Rock and Jock game, the basketball game. That's something I
from
used to
the
watch.
MTV?
Yeah, hardcore every time I would watch it. And then I got older and I was like, I don't need to watch
this. All right.
This
excellent. We will pick. Okay. I'm super intrigued by that. We will pick that back up. All right. Now, Broadus, it is just a competition. Everyone can jump in on this, but early feedback from bringing back Brett Maher from the fans, though that doesn't have to have anything to do with this, has not been super positive.
Sure.
What do you think about them bringing in Brett Maher?
Well, they had to do something.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, but if you talk to people within the organization, though, it wasn't just Bones Fossil that fought for Garibay. It was scouts that fought for him. You know, they felt like that they legitimately went and got a kicker that had a little bit of a small sample size of kicks, but they talked about the leg strength. They talked about the mental makeup and all that. that kid fell apart when he got
the mental side, right?
Well, when he got to Oxnard, you can clearly see that when the misses, when they started to mount, that he didn't have it anymore. And I'm all for that. If you look into that kicker's eyes and you don't see confidence, and maybe you don't see confidence in, you know, the guy they brought back, but I'm still trying here. I'm gonna have a little competition, but I'm also gonna keep an eye on who's on these teams.
Yeah.
You know, these other teams around the league, because people might not carry the two kickers. So you might have to be ready to make a claim or make a trade to go get one of these guys.
Now, you guys probably could have predicted what took up a lot of the fan text and the Twitch earlier today was, you got to go get Roquan Smith, Roquan Smith. I just wanted to know, what is your concept of paying the off-ball linebacker to begin with? Because the Bears are clearly like, yeah, no, that's okay.
Well, that's an organization that has a new general manager and then a new coach. And, you know, when Roquan Smith was highly touted by, you know, everybody in the league.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the one thing that when you watched him play, he was that sideline to sideline guy. And so, you know, it's kind of like Will McClay going back on his, you know, his bar scouting reports and stuff like that. And when somebody like that becomes available, you kind of say, okay, well, you know, maybe it didn't work there, but, you know, we've got a plan. You've got a coach in Dan Quinn that has a really good plan for how to use his players. So if you told me you had to go get a guy and say, oh, he's off ball, this, that, whatever, I trust Dan Quinn to put the kid in the right spot to make a play.
Yeah, I think, you know, at $20 million, though, the positional value comes into play a little bit, doesn't it, Brian? And, like, if I'm going to pay an off-ball linebacker $20 million, I'm going to need great coverage and some sacks.
Well, that's the thing about it. I mean, this guy has the ability to make a ton of plays for you. That's the thing. And I know the money is high on that, but I can't think of an organization that didn't have that guy as one of the top players in the draft.
Right.
So, you know, again, it's about money. You mentioned that. But the money is easy to pay if you find a way to get the production out of it. That's how I look at it.
Now, we were having this conversation earlier. Do you guys still go to the movies? To the actual movie theater.
Yeah, yeah.
And if so, what's the last great movie you saw in a movie theater?
The Minions. Just saw that one.
Oh, yeah. You enjoyed that?
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic work.
All right. I'm a fan of The Minions. I haven't seen the new one. But
one of my kids fell asleep during that movie. Every one of them. And they all went individually, like separately of us, except for Lucy. Lucy went with Adrian. Avery went with a friend. Carter went with a friend. And Lucy went with mom. All of them fell asleep. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what happened? So I'm hoping it's better than what my kids brought back to me.
If they would have gone with you, would you have either constantly woken them up or told them they owe you money?
Probably have given them the Benadryl and just said, go to sleep. That's fine. I like the quiet.
Okay.
You know, I have no reply. I'm thinking in my head, like, how did I think this movie was awesome? Are Corey's kids sleep deprived?
Yeah.
Do they call child protection services? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good movie.
You know what? I've seen the Thor movie. I saw that thing.
Oh, yeah. Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder.
I thought it was solid, but that's about it.
I don't know the story, so I can't really have a reference point there.
What brought you to the Love and Thunder if you're not familiar with the Thor movies?
New girlfriend.
Okay.
New girlfriend.
That makes sense.
And then I went and saw the Top Gun movie, and it kind of reminded me of what happened 30 years ago with a little bit better special effects, you know? So I was like, okay with that. I think I have to go back to, and this is going to sound terrible for me, 2017, a movie came out called The Darkest Hour, and it was about with Winston Churchill, about Winston Churchill. That might have been the last great movie, because I don't go to a lot of movies.
Yeah,
I've been recently going to movies now because
of the dating and
because of dating and like, hey, let's go see this and that and try to catch stuff up on Netflix and things. But if you talk about just going into the theater, that The Darkest Hour, and again, that was several years ago. Probably the darkest time, because that's about how long it's been for me to do this.
I mean, but at least that was a good movie to go out on if you weren't going
to
be back.
I just don't go to movies. And that the whole thing is about me sitting in a dark room anyway, you know, watching tape all day. So why do I want to go sit in another dark room when I'm already doing that?
Yeah, man. You know? It's like, do we want to get off work and talk to people?
God.
Do you, I mean, let me ask you that.
That's a great point.
No, no, that's a really good question. Do you do that? Do we, like, when people come up and talk to you, do you feel like, man, I just talked for the last 5 hours?
I like to listen.
Do you nod?
I will nod along with them, but it is pickup line
at
school.
I did something at Cowboy training camp that I thought I would never do. A gentleman said, Broadus, I love listening to you talk football and all that. He goes, I got some Cowboy questions. You got 5 minutes? I said, no, I don't have 5 minutes. And I moved on, wow. You know? And I'd never done that before, but I felt like that 5 minutes would turn into 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And me
it
doing
is easy, yeah.
And me doing a lot of, yeah, you got to think of it. Yeah, yeah. You got to think of it this way, though. But think of, no, you know, and that, and it just, I was, luckily I had my headphones on and my mic for 3 live mics. You know, I was ready to go out there and I just looked at it, I said, no, I don't even have 5 minutes.
And then he mushed his face.
I got to get to the field.
I've never done that before. I've always, you know, but when he gave me the time commitment to that, I just went, no, I'm sorry, I can't.
He just had 2 minutes.
I got 5 seconds. Go.
Yeah. Like, what's your question? And then if it was one of those, you know, I'm like, oh, okay.
But I'm with
you. Is Dak good or does he suck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when my wife said, when we first met, she's like, I don't really care about sports. And I was like, great. Because I can just imagine going home and her being like, yeah. What do you think about Maher being in this kicking competition? Yeah. You're like, oh my God, I don't want you to
stick
talk
your head
about
in the
that.
Freezer.
What do you guys got coming up on the show today?
Pure Gold, as always. Thanks for asking, Hagee. Cole yes. Reagan's 320.
Oh, all right. Yep. Roll home with the Rangers Player Show and the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say positivity community, Kevin.
Positivity community.
Where's the boy, Kevin?
Where's the baby?
What happened to Wallace?
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.